All right, so today we're tackling this idea of the lazy American.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that
Huh. Don't
stereotype
love it.
about U.S. workers just not like pulling their weight.
Yeah.
You guys sent us this super interesting article
Okay.
from the Geopolitical Compass. It's called Beyond the Lazy American Myth.
Okay.
And let me tell you, it really makes you rethink some stuff, like some
Interesting.
assumptions, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Well, it's kind of crazy how much that myth is like baked into everything, like our culture, you know? It's not just like some random
It
stereotype.
feels really deep.
It is. It's tied to all this stuff about like race and class and even
Oh, wow.
like how society is controlled.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like
Yeah.
it's been used to justify like certain power structures throughout
Oh,
history.
absolutely. Yeah, the article traces it way back, like to early industrialization.
Oh, wow.
You know, think
Okay.
about like factory owners
Right.
needing to keep wages low and like working conditions really bad. They had to create a narrative,
Right.
right, to justify it. And what better way than to
Yeah.
blame the workers themselves?
Also, if they can paint the workers as like inherently lazy, it kind of shifts the focus away from
Yeah.
like the system itself.
Exactly. That's
Yeah.
exactly it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, these narratives, they were aimed at specific groups, right? Like immigrants or people of color
Right.
to further divide the workforce and stop them from,
Like coming together.
from coming together and demanding better conditions.
It's almost like a distraction technique, right? If everyone is busy,
Yeah.
like blaming individuals, they won't notice those bigger problems.
Yeah, you're totally right, Eden. That brings us to another thing. This psychological impact
Right.
of this myth. It's not just about economics. It messes with worker morale
Right.
and even how we function as a society.
Yeah, because if you're constantly told that you're not working hard enough,
Right.
even if you are, it's got to mess with your head, you
It
know.
does imagine like all that shame
Yeah.
and inadequacy, even hopelessness that can
Right.
set in when you're hearing those messages all the time from politicians, from the media.
It's everywhere.
It is
Yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like people start to believe it, so they don't even try to fight for better conditions.
That's exactly what happens.
Right.
And this is where the article really gets interesting. It's like
Okay.
it punches right through this lazy American narrative
Right?
by like throwing all this hard data at us.
Okay, yeah, get this. It points out that U.S. workers are some of the most productive in the whole world.
Yeah.
We even work longer hours than a lot of other developed nations, which, like,
Wow.
you know, the OECD data backs that up. So if we're
Yeah.
like busting our butts and getting stuff done,
Right.
where's the disconnect coming from?
Right. It's a good question, the article argues, that it's not about laziness at all. It's the system
The
itself.
system is broken.
It is.
Yeah, it's like what? It's like blaming a fish for not being able to climb a tree.
I love that.
It's not about the fish's ability, it's about the environment.
Exactly. Perfect analogy.
And the article goes on to talk about all those systemic problems like stagnant wages,
Right.
the rising cost of living. It paints this picture of
Yeah.
people making rational choices, but within this really tough economic landscape.
Yeah.
So it's not about being lazy. It's about trying to survive. The article even uses this concept of reservation wage,
Oh, yeah.
which is the minimum someone will accept for a job.
Right?
And that's not about being picky. It's about your basic needs being met. When
Exactly.
those needs are ignored, people are going to start to question, like, the value of work itself.
Right.
Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Right? And it's not like people are just sitting on their couches doing nothing. There's a whole section about people working multiple jobs and still barely making ends meet.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
It even quotes Bertrand Russell,
Oh, what?
who said that putting too much emphasis on work, being like virtuous, can actually backfire.
Interesting.
So,
So it's not always a good thing
right,
to
exactly.
like glorify work too much.
Yeah, and then when you're stressed about money constantly,
Yeah.
it impacts your mental health, your emotional well-being.
Totally.
The article cites studies showing how financial stress literally makes it harder for you to think clearly,
Yeah.
to make good decisions.
Wow.
So it's not a lack of willpower, it's a lack of like resources and support.
Got it.
It's almost like the system is rigged to
Yeah.
keep people stuck in this
Yeah.
cycle of low wage work.
Yeah.
And the article argues that this focus on this lazy American thing distracts us from exploring like alternative economic models, models that actually put worker well-being and social justice first.
Okay, I like that.
Which brings us to modern monetary theory, or MMT.
Okay.
Honestly, I was kind of intimidated by it at first.
Yeah, it sounds complicated.
But the article breaks it down in a way that kind of makes sense.
Good.
So, how does that work?
Yeah, so MMT challenges a lot of the, conventional economic thinking that we're used to.
Yeah.
It says that a government that controls its own currency, like the U.S., isn't actually limited by tax revenue or borrowing when it comes to spending.
Interesting.
What really matters is managing inflation.
Okay.
So it's not about saying that we have unlimited money.
Right.
But that we might be using our resources, in the wrong way.
Okay. So it's about, using them more wisely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It challenges us to think differently about, how we allocate resources and how we can create a more equitable system.
I like that. And one of the most interesting things is this idea of a job guarantee.
Oh, yeah. That was a new one for me.
Yeah.
So, remind me again how that works.
Okay. So imagine the government, stepping in as, an employer of last resort.
Okay.
They would offer a living wage job with benefits to anyone who wants one. Wow. So it's like a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of just, you know, giving people a basic income, it actually gives them a chance to, contribute and earn a living.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It kind of flips the script on this idea that, that unemployment is always a personal feeling,
right?
You know?
Yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. It recognizes that sometimes. There just aren't enough opportunities for everybody.
So it's not, it's not like you're not trying.
Exactly.
It's that there's not anything out there.
Yeah, there might literally not be a job for you.
Yeah, that's a pretty radical shift in perspective.
It is.
But I can see how that ties into this whole idea of dismantling the lazy American myth.
Yeah.
Because if everyone has a chance to work and contribute, then that stereotype just kind of falls apart.
It does. It totally does. And it forces us to face those systemic issues head on.
Yeah.
Instead of blaming people, we have to ask ourselves, why aren't there not good jobs for everyone?
Right. Why is the system set up this way?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like we're finally addressing the root of the problem instead of just putting Band-Aids on it.
Exactly.
And this is where the article dives into this crazy statistic about the gap between productivity and wages.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that since 1979, productivity has skyrocketed?
Yeah.
But the average worker's pay has only gone up by 13%.
Seriously?
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That's a huge difference.
It is a massive difference.
That's crazy.
And it highlights this fundamental problem with how our economy works.
Mm-hmm.
Workers are getting more efficient. They're producing more than ever before.
Yeah.
But they're not seeing the rewards.
It's not fair.
It's really not.
Yeah.
No wonder people are feeling burned out and disillusioned.
Right.
You work harder, you work smarter. But it doesn't translate into a better life.
Yeah, and it's not just about the numbers. It's also about, feeling valued. When your hard work isn't recognized or rewarded, it eats away at your sense of worth.
Right.
You know?
And then on top of all that, you got the rising cost of living.
Ugh, don't even get me started.
The article cites the Consumer Price Index, which shows that prices have increased, over 4 times since 1979.
That's insane.
That's insane. Rent, healthcare, groceries.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, it's no wonder people are struggling.
It's tough out there.
To just stay afloat.
It really is.
And then, on top of all that, the article points out that millions of Americans, especially in those, low-wage jobs, don't even have access to basic benefits like health insurance, paid sick leave, retirement plans.
It's crazy.
It's crazy how.
How is that even possible?
It's like a recipe for disaster.
You know? It's like. It keeps people trapped.
Yeah, it's like a cycle of precarity and insecurity.
You're always worried about the next thing.
Yeah, one unexpected expense. And you're in trouble. And then let's not forget about the racial disparities that are just built into this whole system.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The article talks about how Black and Hispanic workers are hit even harder by wage stagnation and those benefit gaps.
Yeah.
And it cites some really disturbing statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Kaiser Family Foundation that really expose these disparities.
Yeah, it's a reminder that systemic racism is a huge factor here.
It's a huge factor in perpetuating economic inequality.
Totally.
And this is what the conversation often turns to, like immigration. Mm-hmm. There's this narrative that immigrants are stealing jobs and driving down wages.
Right, right.
But the article really pushes back on that.
It does.
Like, it acknowledges that immigrants play a vital role in the U.S. economy.
Absolutely.
They're often filling jobs that many Americans won't take.
Right.
Especially in those sectors like agriculture and hospitality.
Yep.
And they contribute so much.
Yeah.
To the richness and diversity of our culture.
Totally.
But the article argues that focusing solely on immigration as like the problem ignores those deeper issues we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's like a scapegoat.
It is. It's a distraction tactic.
Right. It's like pitting workers against each other instead of looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah, so if we're really serious about tackling this lazy American myth, and creating a more just economy, we got to look beyond immigration and address those fundamental issues like raising the minimum wage, strengthening unions, expanding access to benefits.
Yeah, and the article offers some really concrete like policy recommendations.
Sure.
For example, like raising the minimum wage to a living wage and indexing it to inflation.
Right.
That way it keeps up with the cost of living.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it would ensure that like...
Yeah.
All workers can actually earn a decent living, and it would actually help the economy by giving people more money to spend.
Right.
You know?
That makes sense.
And they also talk about strengthening worker protections and, like, collective bargaining rights.
Okay. So, like, unions.
Yeah. Unions.
Okay. It seems like they have kind of a bad rap these days.
They do. They do.
But historically, they played a huge role in raising standards and reducing inequality.
Oh, absolutely. They give workers... a voice, you know, they can actually negotiate for better wages and benefits and working conditions.
About like empowering workers.
It is.
And creating like a more balanced power dynamic.
Exactly.
It's interesting how these recommendations tie back to that like historical context we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It's like we're trying to undo the damage done by those early narratives that demonized workers.
Absolutely.
And undermined their power.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And the article also talks about expanding access to essential benefits like health care, paid family leave, retirement security.
Yeah, these are basic necessities.
It's crazy to think that, like, the U.S. is the only developed nation without a national paid leave policy.
I know, it's crazy, right?
And the lack of affordable health care.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a constant source of stress for so many people.
It is. It is.
And this is where MMT kind of comes back into play.
Okay.
Because it suggests that we can afford these programs
even
if they seem expensive.
Right.
It's about changing how we think about like government finances and recognizing that the real constraint it isn't money. It's the availability of resources and the political will to use them.
Right. Like we have the resources. We just need to decide to use them in a way that benefits everyone.
For the common good.
Yes.
And the article also emphasizes the need to invest in education and job training.
Oh, for sure.
To make sure workers have the skills they need.
Yes.
To thrive in this like rapidly changing economy.
Absolutely.
So it's not just about creating jobs. It's about creating good jobs.
Right. Jobs that have a future.
That have a future. That have room for growth.
Yeah.
And advancement.
That pay a living wage.
Right. That pay a living wage. Exactly.
And they talk about like expanding access to affordable education, increasing funding for like vocational training.
Right.
And creating pathways for workers
to
learn new skills throughout their careers.
This is cool.
You know, it's about investing in people.
Yeah. And creating like a more dynamic, adaptable workforce.
Exactly.
And that brings us to this idea of promoting like a high road economic model.
Okay, what's that?
So one where businesses compete based on like quality and innovation and worker well-being.
Okay.
Instead of this like race to the bottom.
Right, where it's just like, who can pay the least?
Exactly.
And who can like get away with the worst conditions?
It's about creating a system that rewards businesses for doing the right thing.
Yeah.
For investing in their workforce.
I like that.
The article even mentions worker cooperatives as like an example of this.
Oh, yeah. Those are interesting.
Worker cooperatives are...
They are.
They're businesses that are like owned and democratically controlled by the employees.
Yeah. So the workers have a say.
The workers have a say.
In how the business is run.
So the benefits of their labor go back to them.
Right.
Not to some. Like,
yeah.
outside investors.
Exactly.
That's pretty radical.
It is. It's a different way of thinking about things.
It is. But I can see how that would create a more like engaged and motivated workforce.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not just a like feel good idea.
Yeah.
Studies have shown that worker cooperatives tend to be more resilient
okay.
during like economic downturns.
That makes sense.
They create more stable jobs
mm-hmm.
and they invest more in their local communities.
Wow. So it's like a win-win.
It is. It's yeah. it's not just about fairness for workers. Mm-hmm. It's about creating a more sustainable, vibrant economy overall.
Yeah, I like that.
This is all really making me rethink this whole lazy American thing.
Yeah.
It's clear that the problem isn't the workers. It's the system that's rigged against them.
Yeah, we have to stop blaming individuals and start looking at the bigger picture.
And that requires a collective effort.
It does.
We can't just like sit back and expect things to change on their own.
Right, we have to be active.
We have to be part of the solution.
Yeah.
It really feels like this whole deep dive has like flipped the script on how I think about work
yeah.
and the economy.
Right.
Not just about like individual effort. It's about the systems. You know?
Yeah, the systems we operate within.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
And what's so powerful about the article is it doesn't just like critique the system.
Mm.
It offers like a vision for something different.
Yeah.
It talks about moving away from this race to the bottom
yeah.
on wages and working conditions
yeah.
and building a system that like rewards businesses.
Yeah.
For investing in their workforce.
Yeah.
For innovation, for quality.
Exactly. It's like changing the incentives, right? To
right.
create a more just and sustainable economy.
Right.
And it highlights some cool examples like those worker cooperatives.
Oh, yeah. Those are so, so fascinating.
Yeah.
Like the idea that employees can own and control their workplaces.
Uh-huh.
It just makes so much sense.
It does.
And they tend to be more resilient
mm.
during like tough economic times.
Yeah, they are.
They create more stable jobs
mm-hmm.
and they invest more in their communities.
It's a win-win.
It really is.
For everyone.
And it really ties back to that point about like a new social contract.
It does. Like recognizing the dignity of work
yeah.
and making sure that everyone has a chance to thrive.
This whole conversation has made me realize that this lazy American myth isn't just some like harmless stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
It has real consequences, you know.
Oh, for sure.
For how we think about policy.
Yeah.
How we treat each other.
Yeah.
How we view ourselves.
Absolutely.
It's used to justify policies that hurt workers,
mm.
that undermine social programs, that widen the gap between the rich and the poor.
It's a distraction.
It's a huge distraction.
Some of the real problems.
So if we want to dismantle this myth
mm-hmm.
and build a better future, like, where do we even begin?
Well, I think awareness is a big first step.
Mm-hmm.
We got to understand how it operates. You know, the historical roots,
yeah.
the connections to, like, systemic racism and classism.
Right. It's like shining a light on those hidden power dynamics.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we need to be, like, critical consumers of information.
Oh, yeah.
We can't just accept everything we hear.
Right.
We need to question the narrative.
Question everything.
Look for evidence.
Think for yourself.
Yeah, think for ourselves.
But don't let other people tell you what to believe.
And when we encounter this myth,
mm.
we got to call it out.
Yeah.
Whether it's in conversations,
yeah.
in the media.
In politics.
We need to challenge this idea that laziness is the root of the problem.
It's not about laziness.
Right.
It's about the system.
Yeah. And that means advocating for policies.
Mm.
That world's that address those root causes, like raising the minimum wage, strengthening unions, expanding access to healthcare.
Yeah, those are all great places to start.
It seems like such a daunting task.
I know, it feels overwhelming sometimes.
But the article gives me hope that like,
yeah,
change is possible.
It is.
It reminds us that we're not powerless.
Right. We have a voice.
We have a voice.
We have power.
We have power. And it's about like reclaiming our collective power.
Yeah.
And recognizing that our faiths are kind of intertwined.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
When one group is struggling, we all suffer.
We're all connected.
And when we work together, we can create a society where everyone can thrive.
I love that.
That's the biggest takeaway for me.
Yeah.
This myth of the lazy American is just one piece of a much larger system. That needs to change.
Yeah, we got to dismantle it.
We got to dismantle it.
Piece by piece.
And it starts with each of us taking responsibility for our role in it.
That's right.
This has been such like an incredible deep dive.
It has.
And I really hope it's inspired some like
yeah.
reflection for you guys too.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
The article mentions some specific policy recommendations.
Yeah, check those out.
And alternative economic models that are worth exploring.
Definitely worth exploring.
So keep learning, keep questioning.
Yeah. And keep fighting for a better world.
That's it for today. Thanks for joining us.